Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 321 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, the author of The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds, Chris Garber. How are you today, Chris?
Hello, boys and girls. This is Chris Garber calling.
Glad to have you after a couple of technical difficulties getting this thing started. We'll try to get this thing completed. Chris, Are you still batting, have the hatches batten down? I'm trying to use a term that I'm really not familiar with, actually, there.
Oh, well, we're going to have a nautical episode.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Gangway. Swab the decks and clear for action.
At some point, we will work in the term poop deck, I think, but that will be completely unrelated to nautical terms. So, you know, things are kind of quiet here, but let me tell you what I did today before we get into the topic of the podcast. I'm in a terrible mood because today I have, in addition to working, I have played 9 holes of golf and I have done my taxes. And every single one of those activities made me irate.
None of those worked out for you, huh?
Not a good day, man. Not a good day.
That stinks. Well, at least you had golf weather. We had 50 degrees and rain all day here, so...
Well, it was a little cool, but at least the rain held off, so I did get out and hit a few. Hit quite a few, actually. I get more strokes for my money than anyone else.
I say the same thing. I tell those guys. I'm like, look, I'm gonna hit it an awful lot of times out here to get my money work.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a pro one time, got some lessons, and he told me my problem was that I was standing too close to the ball after I hit it. I didn't think that was appropriate. That's not good coaching.
No, that's not. I once played in a golf pro-am, kind of like a minor league pro-am, and because they needed some guys to fill the tournament out, so I just went in there as kind of a spot filler, and I'm really bad. And the pro we were playing with was the whole time he was working to get back to kind of the PGA Tour level, so he was kind of working and we didn't bother him very much. And about the 15th hole, he comes over to watch my buddy and I hit a couple shots, and I hit a beautiful drive down the middle, the best drive I hit in weeks. And I get out my 3-wood, which I can't hit, and he's standing right next to me, and I hit this 3-wood, and I did something that, it's something I do quite a bit, which is I completely topped the ball. And it went down into the ground, made a hole in the ground where it was sitting, and then backed up about a foot and a half behind where it started.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'd actually seen this before. But the guy I was playing with, who's a guy named Aaron Baddeley, who's a longtime tour pro from Australia, he looks and he just kind of shakes his head and he says, well, I've never seen that in a golf course before.
That's something to be proud of, I think.
I guess I'm going to take that as a badge of honor.
I guess.
I've stumped the pro with a shot so bad that he'd never seen it before.
Oh, so. We could fill an entire hour of stories like this, which we will not do. But I will say this, the last time I hit a green in regulation, the green had a windmill behind it. Little miniature golf joke there, Chris Garber.
I like it.
Go ahead. I thought you were gonna add another funny golf anecdote.
Oh no, I like that one.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy mini golf jokes.
All right. Anyway, let's talk baseball and the focus for this. We're gonna get a little crazy, I think, maybe at the end of it. But first, I want to talk about some of the plans for opening baseball. Now, last week's episode of the podcast, I made a 100% guarantee that there will be baseball in 2020. Tell me why I'm wrong, Chris.
Are you like that guy in that picture sitting with a table?
Yes.
Sign in front of you?
Right. I'm exactly that guy, whoever he is.
You know, I'm sorry to digress, but that I hope people know what we're talking about. It's kind of a common internet meme with a...
Change my mind or something?
Yeah, change my mind. I don't know. Some guy sitting in a college quad, it looks like, with a challenge for open debating. But that reminded me when Jim Bowden fired Tony Perez so early in the, 1993 season?
93, yes.
Yeah, like 17 games in or whatever. This guy I knew who's from Cincinnati took a folding card table out to the college green at Ohio University campus and a sign. Yeah. And he sat down just like that guy did with a, you know, Jim Bowden must go, bring back Tony Perez sign, a placard that he had developed.
That is fantastic.
I thought it was something else. I was like, you know, I don't have any poster board in my college dorm room, but you thought ahead. And you know, I met a lot of girls that night, I can tell you.
You know, you were a big Reds fan at that time, and you just weren't as committed to the cause as this guy.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. That was kind of in my a little bit of distance period from baseball and for myself.
Yeah. Well, we're having a little bit of a different kind of distance from baseball. And so I put a 100% on it. What percent do you give that we're going to have baseball this year?
Sorry. I don't think it's 100%, but I think we're going to have something. I think, you know, I just don't think the current situation can last forever. I think we're going to have to get comfortable with discomfort and comfortable with uncertainty as time goes on. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that professional baseball is the most important thing, but I don't think we can grind the planet to a halt for 9 months. I think something's going to give here and there. So hopefully baseball will be one of the things we can do.
Right. Yeah. And of course, you know, we're assuming that it's going to be some different type of baseball than we've ever seen before. And we're going to talk about how much different it could get. But I do want to talk about some of the scenarios that are out there. And Doug Gray and I talked about one of them last week, which was the, and I'll just ask your opinion on that first, the kind of three state plan where they'd have, I don't know, three different leagues, essentially. One in Arizona, one in Florida, one in Texas, and play games just in those sites, like at spring training stadiums. And in Florida, I guess we'd minor league stadiums. And just have, you know, teams in these three locations so you can kind of, yeah, quarantine's not the right word, but you can limit access, I guess, a little bit. What were your thoughts about that plan?
Well, I just don't think it's real practical to basically ship these players off to some place they don't live for multiple months at a time to play baseball. And that seems unlikely to me that they're going to be able to do that. I think if, I don't know, I guess you rule nothing out, but that just feels a little, I feel like some kind of games based in the home stadium is probably going to be necessary, I think.
And that was one of the plans that was tossed out this week. Yeah. The Arizona, Florida, Texas plan. It kind of seems we've heard a whole bunch of things thrown out. And it's like, well, let's throw everything against the wall and we'll agree on something. Hopefully something will stick and we'll have baseball. But it seems to me like that was one that, well, you know, why don't we just do it here? And I think the logistics of that are way more difficult than what came out this week. Let me read a little bit from a Ken Rosenthal piece and then from Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Bob Nightingale, not little Bobby. Who's doing a good job as the beat writer for the Reds, the Inquirer. But Ken Rosenthal's piece says, those involved at the sport's highest levels are increasingly confident games will be played in 2020, but league officials trying to remain flexible amid the ever-shifting landscape of the pandemic have yet to determine how, when, and where that would happen. Most realistic time range for opening day, somewhere between mid-June and July 4th, in the view of most officials, would allow for an 80 to 100 game regular season with the schedule running through October. How do you feel about an 80 to 100-game regular season beginning, say, July 4?
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's what my first thought.
Yeah, I'll take anything. You know, I saw a thing going around today. Some kind of, I don't know what state it was from, but it was the youth baseball rules that they were going to have to play by in this particular state. And it was like, the catcher has to be 6 feet behind home plate and the umpire is behind second base and there's no leading off and no holding runners and all this stuff. And I'm watching this social media commentary. People are getting all bent out of shape. I was like, man, it's baseball.
It's better than what we got now.
Really? You're going to stand on principle and say that, you know, if you don't get 162 games, you're not interested or you're, you know, if I saw people getting all wound up about the idea of 7-inning doubleheaders.
Right.
And I thought, you know, first off, they did that. Major League Baseball did quite a bit like that in the pre lighted stadiums era and even pre television. So, you know, what you see and what you're used to is not the only way to do it.
And again, if there's ever a time that we have to think outside the box just to get some kind of baseball, it's now. And if they could get 80 games, 100 games in and then have a playoff system, and we'll talk about what system that we're talking about in a moment. But when I sort of heard that talk, and again, I'm overly optimistic about it. That's why I said 100%. But that seemed like pretty reasonable to me. Bob Nightingale, he's basically said some of the same things, but he had a specific plan that was given according to three executives with knowledge of the talks between the players and Major League Baseball officials. They would have it starting no later than July 2nd and playing at least 100 regular season games. And what they put together was a three division, easy for me to say, 10-team plan. So basically you have three separate divisions and teams only play within their division. So three leagues, essentially. And Nightingale says this is a concept gaining support amongst owners and executives. So what you do is you realign the divisions for 1 year based on geography, and then just play the teams in your division. So you'd have games against nine other teams, essentially. So did you see that plan? And
I did, and I was interested. I mean, I like that one better as it being a Reds fan. I like that one a lot better than the one that had us with the Dodgers.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
And that like Dodgers and Astros and 27 Yankees and the Reds, I think, was the division. I don't quite understand the travel thing. I mean, is the idea that they're going to be playing shorter series? Because the Reds fly on a chartered plane.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter. They're not at any more risk health-wise or anything else going to Los Angeles than they are going to St. Louis. So maybe they can cut down on off days if they don't have long trips, and maybe they can squeeze more games in. I really didn't quite get the angle of why geography was important. Did you know?
No. My only guesses were, like you said, in terms of fewer off days, and so keeping the trips shorter would be a big thing because they're going to try to pack in as many games as they can. And also, I would not be surprised if just travel costs. I imagine there's some extra cost to flying to Kansas City instead of going to Los Angeles.
Okay.
A bunch of times. So, yeah, maybe they're save a little bit there. That's, you know.
That's fair.
I don't know. That's one of the things I can think of.
Yeah, I am completely not thinking about how the business side of this and how these teams are trying to lose the least amount of money possible, I guess, on this season.
What was interesting about this plan, though, is something you said earlier, which is they're going to be teams will be playing in their home stadium. Now, how many fans they'll have? Maybe none initially, at least, certainly. That's all to be ironed out. But I love the idea of playing in the home stadiums, and I don't care about one season of not having an American League and a National League because, like you said, it's baseball. Let's do it. I'll be in a division. Here's the teams that are in the Reds division proposed: the Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Cardinals, Royals, Indians, Twins, Braves, and Tigers. So really, the Braves are the only good team in there. The Reds could win that division.
I know. I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And maybe we can still get them to trade the Pirates back for the Braves.
Yeah, just keep it the Central divisions.
Yeah, because all the others are just the two divisions sandwiched together, and for some reason they decided that Atlanta was a better travel fit than Pittsburgh. So,
which I guess kind of makes sense if you look at. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, actually. I mean, it is a little farther west, but I don't know. That's a long-standing fight, right?
Yeah. I would love to. Let's just go straight AL Central, NL Central. Get rid of the Braves. Give us the Pirates, man. The Reds would be sitting pretty in that division.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. So shall it be done. But you know, that could work, I guess. Do you really think that people are going to object to a 100-game season with three divisions or three leagues that we've never seen before. Do you really think there's going to be a lot of whining and complaining about it?
Well, yes. There will absolutely be a lot of whining and complaining, because that statement is true about anything in the world.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Maybe Vin Scully. But other than that, people whine and complain about ice cream, about pizza.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, they'll be whining and complaining. But I think I don't think Major League Baseball cares about the whining and complaining.
Right. I think there'll be plenty of us that'll be excited.
I think Major League Baseball cares about doing whatever it can to get as much product on television with the consent of the players' union. And I think that's it.
Yeah. I think that's the key to all this. They're going to be willing to sacrifice games with fans at the altar of getting games on television, because I believe the real motivating factor is getting enough games in to have a viable postseason so that they can say that justify the big money that they're charging for the postseason games, right?
I think that's it. Yeah. Yeah. That seems right.
So I don't know. 100 games would be way more than I expected not very long ago. And again, it's going to depend on a lot of variables, not just baseball variables and getting the players to agree to things, but, approval of, medical experts that the league is retaining, and availability of testing, things like that, So there are a lot of things that go into it. But,
an interesting thing about the television, I've got a friend from my hometown who works on on the crew for the production crew for sporting events. And it's interesting. A couple of things I've learned about since everything shut down. One, those are freelance people. They get paid per day, and they don't really work for the team or the network. But the other thing is, they reminded me that they're basically sitting in a can, in a steel can with like seven other people in one of those trailers, producing the broadcasts. And so, we think about all the different essential employees that have to make these things work. The television broadcast is an interesting thing. It's not quite as simple as two guys up in a booth and, seven cameramen scattered across the stadium. There are people, there's kind of weak links in that system, just like there are in everywhere else. So hopefully they'll find a way to make that work. My understanding is during, cold and flu season, stuff gets passed around pretty intensely in those production trucks.
And I wonder if this will be, like in so many different areas of American life, an opportunity to kind of reset things and reconfigure how something like that, like television broadcasts are actually produced, if there's a better way to do it. The flu's always going around. To compare this to the flu, but just saying, is there a better way to do that anyway? Maybe it'll cause people to reconfigure their thinking around, this is the way we've always done it, but maybe there's a better way to do it.
Right.
I'm a big movie fan. And there's a real conversation right now because the Oscars just announced that they're going to, for this year only, they're going to accept movies that debuted on streaming. They didn't go into a theater because of all this. And, frankly, what's happened is theaters are going to be going bankrupt in the near future, because this Trolls movie made $100 million on, debuting a video on demand, basically. And so the studios are realizing, well, this is actually may work going forward for certain types of movies anyway. And I expect in 5 years, we're not going to have most movies other than just the, big franchise stuff are the only things that you can justify putting in a theater. It's all going to be, Netflix and streaming. So lots of different, I kind of digress there, but lots of different places are going to have to rethink things. And you wonder if it'll have any lasting effects on baseball, on the game. Do you see, is it too hard to predict that, I guess?
I think it's too hard to predict, but I was surprised to see a headline. I didn't read the article, but it said something to the effect of professional sports teams and stadium owners were consulting architects on how to social distance in their stadium. Wow. And I thought, are you talking about for 1 year, or is this the impression I got from the headline was this is like a permanent thing. And I thought, I don't know how you could do that. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, it's one thing to, throw up some plexiglass every four seats or something, but I don't know how you...
Unless you reduce the stadiums to, 8,000 seats or something.
Right, right. And it, that feels like a really dumb... I mean, I know this is a big crisis, but I'm very confident that it's going to pass and that human beings will be allowed to gather in large numbers again at some point in the future.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. You wonder if there are going to be drastic changes that aren't necessary. I don't know. Because we've lived with nothing like this, certainly, in our lifetimes. But people are going to have to live together. There are a lot of people on this planet.
Right.
So, anyway, I want to talk about some of the possible things that have been thrown out and get your take on how you feel about any of that. I think you and I are kind of the same. I'll take just about any of it if it means we're going to get the baseball. But let's talk about a few of them. The first thing I want to mention is because it kind of fits in with what we were just talking about in terms of things that could stick around. If they do this three league concept that we just talked about, there's going to be the universal designated hitter in all those leagues. And I believe that once they do that, we will always have the designated hitter. That's my opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking the same thing. I do, apologies to Michael Lorenzen, but I think that once that bridge is crossed, we're not going to turn back and go back across it.
Now, I'm anti-designated hitter, always have been, always will be. I just, you know, I'm just going to be that guy on the DH. You can change anything else you want, but I'm never going to like it. But, I put up with it in my son's games for his entire life. And so I'll deal with it in Major League Baseball as well. But once you cross that bridge, we're not going back. Expanded postseason at neutral. This is something that Nightingale said. Expanded postseason at neutral sites with World Series being late November or early December. Now, expanded postseason, I don't know what that means.
Why would you need to expand the postseason?
I can't imagine why you would. I mean, you can have the same number of teams. You're drawn from different... I don't know how you would work that out, actually. Maybe each division would have...
Three? No, you're right. There would have to
be something, yeah. I don't know.
What are there normally, eight?
Who knows? I've never watched the playoffs. I've heard of them.
You're right, though. There's no way to do a wild card.
Right.
Because the teams are playing completely separate schedules.
So you take the top two from each? I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could do 12. Maybe that's why it is expanded. Maybe it's four from each division. And, the bottom, you still have to pick four teams. You still have to pick a team. You still have to treat a team differently from one division than from another.
Right, right.
Based on unfair criteria. But again, live with it.
Right, exactly. With all these things we're going to talk about, it's, live with it. But what do you think about the idea of neutral site games for the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I guess if a couple things. If the ballpark's empty, who cares? One empty park's the same, empty of fans.
Right.
One's the same. But it's a necessity. If they're going to be playing in November, you can't count on being able to play a home game in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota.
Yeah, it's one where if they're going to be fans there, teams aren't going to be pouring into Tropicana Field to see the Reds and the, Twins. But if there's no fans, I'm the same. Who cares? If there are fans, I'm going to hate that, hey, we get a chance to be in the playoffs and I can't go. Finally, the Reds get back to the playoffs. But that's probably, especially if you're going to talk about early December. I mean, how do you play in, Minnesota? They made the playoffs last year, and they're staying. They don't have a roof, I don't think.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's just outdoors. So it's a nice looking stadium. I was in Minneapolis last April. I was kind of hoping they had a game there, but they were out of town. I was going to go watch a game. Do you know why I was in Minneapolis?
I know you want me to ask. Why were you in Minneapolis in early April of 2019?
Oh, to watch the two-time defending national champions now, the University of Virginia Cavaliers, win the
repeat. Another congratulations on that repeat.
I know, man. It was so easy this year. A lot easier than last year. So, okay, yeah, neutral sites again. I'm going to be bummed out if there are Reds playoff games and I can't be there. But then on the other hand, the Reds will be in the playoffs and I'll still be fine. Expanded rosters. If they're going to try to compress a season, going to have to expand the rosters. And I think that's probably going to get the Players Association on board with a lot of these changes, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's I think that's the key. Give them, more jobs. Because I still don't quite understand what's going on with salaries. are the players, I know they're going to get, I think they're going to get like a prorated.
I think that's the plan right now.
But are they also maybe even going to cut it down from that? Did I hear that?
I imagine that the owners are going to try to do that. I haven't seen that that's the case, but I don't know. That's going to be probably the key point.
Yeah. The other thing to think about, and I really hope this doesn't happen, but if the minor league schedule is greatly curtailed or there are no minor league games at all this year, I think teams are going to have to have, you know, that. I mean, how many players normally play in a major league roster in a season? 35, 40?
That's part of the average, yeah.
So the clubs are going to have to find a way to keep those guys in shape and sharp and ready to compete if there's an injury at the major league level. So I don't know how that would work either. If there's kind of a practice squad like you have in professional football or some kind of a, you know, they get to or it's like hockey where they have a roster of 30 and they have to activate 26 on any given night or I don't know what.
That's what I was going to suggest, hockey or soccer, European soccer, where, you know, you got this roster that's a larger size, but you got to name who your starters and your subs, basically.
What do they have a name? I bet they have a goofy name for that, don't they?
I wish I knew what the name was, but I'm sure they do. They've got a goofy name for everything.
Well, soccer, they need a lot of guys because I've seen some of those injuries. I mean, I saw this guy, and he just went down.
Like he was shot.
I think he's dead. I mean, it was weird because the other guy just kind of grazed him walking past, but
it didn't look as bad as it actually was. Yeah,
it's rough over there.
You know, I love soccer. I absolutely adore it, but that wears me out. I can't argue with that one. All right. So the reason you need expanded rosters, though, is for because they're probably going to have to squeeze in more doubleheaders, and there's some suggestions that the Players Association would be unhappy with more doubleheaders because they've consistently bargained fewer doubleheaders into the schedule. But again, if you're getting more roster spots, I can't imagine the Players Association would be too upset about that, especially if we're talking about, you know, dropping down to 7-inning games. And I really don't – you've already addressed that. That's one I can't get worked up over. 2 7-inning doubleheaders, make it more complete games. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe you just get 3-inning starts. I don't know.
Right, yeah, who knows. What about the – you know, they've already started doing this in some leagues, and you probably see this – in some of the travel baseball, I know we certainly do, is extra innings. You start a runner on second. What do they call that? The international rules or something?
They call it horse manure. that's one I really don't hope they don't do. I mean, honestly, I'd rather them have ties.
Well, that was a suggestion too. Ties or after 10 innings, have home run derby.
Yeah.
To win the game. Yeah.
Like hockey. You just start taking players off the field every inning.
Oh, now that would be good.
Remove a fielder every inning.
Oh, talk about the strategy that would be involved there.
That'd be great. Yeah. You end up some sort of king in his court scenario going on in the 18th inning.
Right. You know, you got Adam Dunn coming up next thing. So you can't take him out. You know, I'm trying to think of a corollary for Adam Dunn, you know, some lumbering outfielder.
Oh, no, maybe he still gets to hit. You just have to take away a fielder.
Right, but I'm saying maybe – so you keep your lineup intact.
Yeah.
Remove a fielder every – oh, man, I'm starting to love this. We need to figure this one out.
It's kind of like you get like that 1986 Reds-Mets game where Jesse Orosco was flipping back and forth, and you just – you know, whatever it is, I don't know.
Well, there Lorenzen would be helpful because – maybe you could, I don't know, pitch him and then, you know.
What do you do? Do you take away the left fielder or do you go without a third baseman? It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. We need to figure that one out because that would be fun. And that's some of these things. You know, the home run derby is kind of a silly suggestion I saw made. But things like that would probably bring a little bit of excitement back to baseball that you've not had. And we're talking about getting a little crazy, but I think people would enjoy that.
I do too. You know, I read something, and I mean, it was Joe Sheehan or something was talking about tiebreakers and home run derby not being quote unquote baseball, you know, and that's why whoever this was, they didn't like it because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a form of the game, even a bastardized form to break a tie. And I thought that's an interesting point. So that's where I guess I got the idea.
I guess, but I don't, whatever. I want to talk about some more of those crazy ideas, but first, what about this idea? It occurred to me today, if we limit the season down to, you know, 80 games, or some would even suggest 60. I think Trevor Bauer said this week he thought that even if they could only get 60 in, they'd still, he thought that was about the number for a full season. And would there be more drama if it's in terms of it being a shorter season, because you'd have more teams that you'd, you know, you would think in the race, and a lot more crazy outcomes, because, you know, the Reds have played good for 60 games in the past. You know?
Yeah, well, I think that's right. So I think you know, the fans and everybody would be freaking out. Like, you lose three in a row, and now you're like, this is really a big deal now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Where my head went to was just listening to a certain announcer belabor this point about the importance of every single game.
Oh, my goodness.
He would just love it.
I don't know who you're talking about, but yeah, I'm sure that some announcer
Steve
somewhere.
Steve Fizioc.
Gary Thorne would, maybe want somebody else. So that was the question. You know, we have this pretty active Slack channel for our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/redlegradio. Go there and you can join the conversation there if you want. But, and the question essentially was from our guy, Joe Farsing, was, should an abridged season happen like we're talking here, or should they blow it up for one season and have fun with it? And he suggested some crazy ideas. And I'll talk about some of those, but I want your opinion on what should they just do something crazy for one season to try to get people back into the game? And here's what he said. He said, things like, robot umps and requiring pitchers to use a bullpen cart to enter games and letting hitters try to steal first, you know, just something crazy, you know, about changing the game. And I'm going to actually read what else he wrote. I would also embrace coordinating with the MLBPA, just letting players have fun. If the entire season is going to be played at neutral sites, then why not let the teams redraft themselves fantasy style? Pick a representative from each team as captain, then go from there. Nobody's going to look at the World Series champ as legitimate, considering the completely effed up situation, so why pretend? Seems like a great way to build goodwill between league and players ahead of next offseason's expected negotiations. Now, the first part of that is, I think this year's World Series champ will be legitimate. We're going to look back and say, oh, it was a crazy season, yes, but, you know.
They're going to play seven games against another really good team.
Yeah, and there will be a, you know, if it were 1992, there would be a great VHS tape developed of it. So, yeah, it's going to be legitimate. What do you think about this idea, though, of just doing something crazy?
I think if they can't get 60 games, then go for it, or whatever the number is. Right. You know, but I look, a lot of this is because the Reds are going to be good. Yeah, and they got a bunch of good guys on 1 year contracts, and I don't want to lose that if there's any way not to. So
it is fantasy draft idea. I agree. No, we finally have a team we like.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not do that. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a bunch of crazy stunts would be cool, but not nearly as good as an actual baseball season, even a short season.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, 60 games is more than a college season.
Yeah.
And that, you know, those feel like real baseball seasons, and they feel like, you know, the College World Series feels like a real championship tournament. So if you get somewhere in that nature of in that number of games, almost a half season, I say go for it. But yeah, if it gets to be August 1 and they haven't started playing anything, then maybe you do just make it a novelty tour. But I don't know why players are going to go get hurt and risk it, and why they're going to bother.
Yeah. It's fun to think about, but I mean, if you can't get, you know, 60 games or something, I could see some kind of round robin, or, you know, something to a different way to approach things. But if you can get at least 60 to 80, I think you can play that and still have at least some form of the playoffs that will result in two league championship series, quote unquote, and World Series. And I think if they do that, everybody's going to look back at this in 20 years and think, oh, my goodness, what a crazy summer that was. But, yeah, it's an anecdote, I guess. But I like some of these ideas. Requiring pitchers to use a bullpen cart to enter games, I think that should be mandatory anyway, I believe.
Yeah, that's not even a debate. That should be in place already.
What happened to bullpen carts? Where'd they go?
I don't know. Somewhere online the other day, I saw a picture of a Bob Hope's customized bullpen cart. Did you see that?
Yes. That was fantastic.
It was something else. It had, like, for those of you who haven't seen it, it has like a giant fiberglass Bob Hope chin jutting out in front of it, like the prow of a ship.
A big pointy nose too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it also made me think about was the fact that it appeared to be a three-wheeled golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
And I had completely forgotten that those things existed, because it seems like probably one of the worst ideas.
And we're back to golf. But yeah, go Google Bob Hope golf cart. It's really an amazing contraption. He really leaned into that that unique look that he had, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's something.
he was something. Let's answer a few viewer mail questions. You want to?
Sure. I don't have any choice, do I?
Well, yeah, you've always got a choice. I'm surprised that you actually chose to join me here today.
Yeah.
Joe Farsing, who we've mentioned far too many times already this podcast, but the first one's from him. It's his typical, you're going to have to help me out on this one. He tries to come up with something clever. Favorite actor. He's leaning again into the sickness vibe because of the
current. Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin. Hold on. I didn't get my whole question out. Obviously.
Oh, well, that. You said favorite actor, and that's going to be the answer.
Obviously. Not Bronson Pinchot.
Cousin Larry.
Yeah. Cousin Larry. Favorite actor. All right, I'm going to do it. Gonorrhea Perlman, Pat Shingle, or Nikki Cat Scratch Fever. Now, who's Pat Shingle? Do you have any idea who that is? Is that a person, or who's he trying
to? I'm Googling Pat Shingle right now, and
is he trying to refer to somebody else? Who's the actor? He's,
I don't know, Pat Harrington, TV Schneider from One Day at a Time.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I like Cheers, so I'm going to go with Rhea Perlman. All right.
What was the third choice?
Nikki Cat Scratch Fever, K-A-T-T.
Oh, Nikki Cat. He's the hoodlum from Dazed and Confused, who was almost out of bubblegum.
What? Almost out of Dazed and Confused?
Remember that movie?
I've seen it many, many times.
They're at the Moon Tower.
Yeah.
And his name is Clint.
Oh, Clint. I just looked him up and it doesn't look anything like him, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he got into a little altercation at the Moon Tower, didn't he?
Yeah, it didn't work out real good for Goldberg.
It did not work out very good. Now, was he calling him a stoner? I don't think we ever decided whether he was actually calling
him. I believe Mike made an observation.
But now he had a good plan, don't you think?
He did. I really did think that was going to work out for him, that the crowd would break it up. He'd get one good punch in.
Yeah, and by that time, everybody but didn't.
No, he forgot how much high school kids like to watch a fight.
I know. How many times did you see people just crowded around? Or you saw them crowded around over there, and you know, uh-oh, somebody's fighting over there. Nobody's jumping in.
Yep. You're holding people back. Right, kind of like the college football sideline coach.
Right.
Arms extended.
On college basketball sidelines too, you know, just stay back.
Stay back.
Oh, man, until some underpaid PE teacher wanders in, grips them up by the scruff of the neck.
Oh, yeah. I saw one of our football coach / gym teacher carry a kid by the scruff of his neck all the way to the office. Heels were you know, like running in place kind of a deal. Not even hitting the ground. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic. One time on the schoolyard when I was in like sixth grade, some kid made the mistake of wearing these. You know how basketball teams, I don't know if they still have these. They used to have these tearaway pants.
Yeah.
And some guy decided he was going to wear these pair of these tearaway pants onto the schoolyard playground.
He didn't wear shorts under, did he?
He did not wear shorts. He did have tidy whities, evidently.
Yes.
As the whole school saw.
I've seen that once before and ended up with the pants hanging from the basketball rim.
Why would you not wear a pair of shorts under there?
Well, he didn't do it again.
I guarantee he didn't. Oh, man. Buddy, am I getting in real trouble for that? Gosh. How come every time you and I talk, it goes off the rails?
Well, I apologize for that.
Yeah, clearly your fault. Mm-hmm. Rich Thompson asks at patreon.com/redlegradio. If the MLB season, and some of these questions here, and there's only three more of them, but we already talked about some of this, but let me just read them, and if there's anything else to add, we will. If the MLB season opens this season with one of the proposed regional divisional alignments, where there's no National American Leagues, who would you like to see the Reds face in the World Series? Or should it even be called a World Series under such a format? That's a pretty good question.
That's weird.
Yeah.
The Reds are playing like the Dodgers in the World Series?
Right. Right. What if it's the Reds and, you know, Cardinals or, you know. I think the Dodgers is the right answer here, though. After all the history of the Reds and Dodgers.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
To actually play in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, I don't. The Dodgers are probably the best team, so I don't really want that. I mean, I'll take the Pirates.
Yeah, but I'll take anybody, right, in the World Series?
Yeah, but that's interesting. And yes, it should be called a World Series. Why not? I mean, two big league teams are playing for the championship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Astros and Dodgers played, I guess, right? Or the Astros and right, Nationals.
Yeah.
They were in the same league for a while.
So. It's confusing.
Yeah, I don't understand it. So we're going with the Dodgers on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nathan Connor asks, Hash Brown viewer mail. Chad, I will take baseball in any form or fashion this calendar year. Yes, whenever the window opens to play baseball safely. However, I think there is a point where it does not make sense to play a season that culminates with a World Series. What do you think is the minimum number of regular season games to feel comfortable that we are putting the good teams in the playoffs? For me, I think it's around 80. Typically by midseason, we know who stinks and who's good, and that's about as good of a standard as we can hope for this year. Obviously, this leaves a lot on the table, much like 81 did. 80 games would mean regular season play would begin in July. Thoughts? Now, we've kind of already talked about that, but I mean, I think 60 is probably the minimum number for me. Is that where you are?
I would say, yeah, 60, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, the more the better, obviously, in terms of being able to judge who the best team is. We know that short series is not a good way to judge it, but yeah, more is better, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to look and see what the standings were last year after 60 games. I'd be kind of curious. That would have been what, around June 1st, probably?
Somewhere around there, yeah. While you're looking that up, yeah, my thought was if we got to the point where we couldn't have at least, you know, 60 games, is they should figure out some way to do, well, I said round robin earlier, but really what I wanted was some kind of March Madness where we had, and I've mentioned this, I think, on the podcast before, you take the 30 major league teams and then you take the top 34 minor league teams. And you just have a March Madness bracket. Man, people would be betting on this thing.
Like
and
single game?
Well, you could do it three games in the early rounds, or a single game in the early rounds, then three games, then maybe five games, then maybe seven for the final four or something like that.
That would be interesting.
It would be fun.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I mean, in the absence of an actual season, you know, obviously.
Right, right.
So have you found it? What do you?
All right, let me get you to, let's go to June 4th, June 5th, let's say that. The teams are played 59 games, 58. All right, we'll go one more day. June 5th, first place teams. All right, you're going to June 6th because it's D-Day.
Okay, good call.
All right, so the first place teams were the Yankees, the Twins, the Astros, Phillies, Cubs and Brewers tied, and Dodgers.
Other than the Phillies, that's just about exactly where it ended up, isn't it?
I believe that's right. And then, well, the Braves beat the Nationals in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, the Cardinals won the division, so the Cubs faded. But it had one, and let's see. Okay, then you would have had playoff teams would have been Milwaukee and Atlanta. Would have been the wild cards. And Tampa Bay and Texas. So that didn't happen. Tampa Bay made the wild card. Tampa Bay was the wild card, that's right.
Yeah, so.
So 1, 2, 3, 4 out of five teams in the American League would have been right. And in the National League, you would have had only two out of five, I think.
And the ultimate champions would not have made it.
No, the Braves, right. The Braves would have three out of five, right. The ultimate champions wouldn't have made it. They were.
Yeah, they started off.
They were six games. They were really terrible. Yeah.
And that's what I worry about, that the Nationals were a good team last year that started really, really poorly. We've seen the last couple of years the Reds start really, really poorly. What if the Reds get out to another 1-9 start? And, you know, in a short season.
Tough luck.
I know. The one season here where we finally think they've got an actual chance. So, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting look at it. Sorry, Nationals fans.
You lose in the 2019 coronavirus version.
Exactly. Now, let me just make sure I'm clear. The Reds would not have made the playoffs under that scenario either.
Nope.
Unfortunate. Hooper Powell asks, Hooper's always got a question every time you're on because you and Hooper are good buddies, I know. Columbus area buddies.
Yep. We're all friends in Columbus.
You know everybody in Columbus?
You know, me, Hooper Powell, Paul O'Neill, the Milner family.
Wow. Only the greats.
Yeah.
Hooper asks, do you see playing through October and then playing the playoffs in neutral sites? Also, do future stadiums have, do you see future stadiums having retractable roofs? He's got another question, and I'm not going to answer that one because I don't really understand it. We've already answered the first question, playing through October and then playing the playoffs neutral sites. I guess he says, do you see playing it? What are the chances of it? I think that that all depends on when they start the season to me. But I absolutely think it's absolutely a possibility, I guess, right?
I think that's right. Exactly.
And do you see future stadiums having retractable roofs?
No more than they would. I don't think there are that many future stadiums.
You know, that's a good point. That's a good point. We've had a pretty, the last, 2 decades, there've been a lot of new stadiums open.
Yeah. I mean, who needs one? I mean, I know they all pretend that, you know, probably the White Sox pretty soon will say, oh, ours is outdated, but most everybody's got one, don't they?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, you know, still the best one I've been to is Camden Yards, the first of these new stadiums. I tell you what I think is really going to happen, not retractable roofs, but I think in probably 10 years, that's my prediction, there's going to be a big push to have multi-purpose stadiums.
You think so?
Yeah.
Maybe make them round.
Exactly. Riverfront 2. 2.0.
That's pretty good. I thought you were going to say people are going to have force fields.
Force fields?
Yeah, that would be the novel thing. You know, you don't need a roof, but you're going to have some sort of anti-gravitational pull.
I like it. Whatever. There's no way that's going to happen because, frankly, I was expecting to have flying cars in 2020, and instead we have no baseball.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. All right, Chris. Let's see. I think that's about all I had down. Anything else you were just dying to talk about?
Nope.
There's one thing.
I've talked out.
Good. Well, I appreciate that. I won't call you again for another couple months. you know Amir Garrett? You've heard of him, right?
Yeah, we're friends.
Former St. John's basketball. Oh, is he from Columbus?
He played against the Clippers once, so we became friends.
He's been live streaming video games because he's a gamer.
It really, yeah, good. We've been watching it. We've been watching some.
Yeah, we have as well. And my son came to me today. My son and all his buddies have got this new game that they've been playing together. And I'll tell you what the game is in a moment. They've really gotten obsessed with it over the last couple of weeks because there's a group of about 5-6 friends they have. And, you know, they do their gaming since they can't see each other. My son came to me and said, oh man, Amir Garrett just tweeted out, or maybe he's on Instagram, said that he's going to be streaming our game tonight. And I'm going to give you one guess as to what game, and you may have seen the tweet, but what game Amir Garrett's going to be streaming tonight and why my son was excited about it.
So this is a game that your son has been playing a lot.
My son is 15.
Okay.
Just turned 15. And he and his other buddies that's around the same age are all been, we've gotten obsessed with this PlayStation game.
Dance Revolution 2?
No, I'm the one that's obsessed with that one.
Dance Revolution, sorry.
The answer is Monopoly.
What?
Exactly.
He's going to play Monopoly. He's going to play Monopoly on a video game console and stream it.
It's going to be on Twitch tonight, man. You need to watch it.
You know, I mean, I have enough trouble watching somebody else play video games,
I
think watching him play a video game version of a board game.
I tell you, man, my son and his buddies, they are nuts about it.
Well, I can see it'd be fun for kids to play with each other and that kind of thing and talk online and that could be cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that much different than sitting around an actual board game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the best you can do. Is he going to play like 6 different people and like somebody gets to be the shoe? And
I think that he was opening it up for people to play with him, play that game with him. And my son thought it was crazy because just about a week and a half ago, he and his buddies all decided it's like, you know, $4.99 on the PlayStation store.
Right,
you know? And so they all got it and thought, oh, this is going to be hilarious. And then they got really obsessed with it.
That's great. Yeah.
Which didn't actually surprise me as much as you would think, because we went on vacation this summer with another family. And so we had, you know, 4 teenagers and a couple almost teenagers in the house. And that's what they spent their evenings doing, playing Monopoly.
So, well, it's a fascinating game.
It is.
Yeah, it does.
All right, Chris, I guess that's about all we can talk about here today. Unless you've got something else you want to add. I'm trying to...
No, stay frosty, everybody.
Exactly. All right, subscribe to the podcast. Everywhere you find podcasts, we're there. Go to redlegnation.com. Talking about the Reds every day since 2005. That's crazy. Over 15 years now. And if you want to support the podcast with a few dollars, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to push that on anybody, but it's at patreon.com/redlegradio. We do have a really great group that have supported the podcast, and they're fun to talk to, except for Joe Farsing, who really gets on my last nerve. So for Chris, the worst. For Chris Garber and Clint from Dazed and Confused, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.